हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, text number 8. Dharmam svanushtita pumsam vishvakshe nakata suyaha notpadayeti adiratim evahi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. And we are continuing with the second part of the report. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the period of the body and the mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and the subtle mind. He is the potent active principle of the body and mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and the mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleaning the cage of a bird, one doesn't satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of God. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted reflection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting the divine activities of the Supreme Lord. And any occupational activity which doesn't help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Godhead is said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberatives. The gross materialist can practically see that his material gain is limited only to time and space, either in this world or in the other. Even if he goes up to the Svargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service.
Yeah, so so Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here about the soul is the actual active principle. You know, it's the real thing that's, you know, you're dealing with. The gross and subtle bodies are actually unconscious matter. But because we identify with them, then because we're alive, then we see that by animating, you know, the body and mind in different ways for different purposes, that we may become happy. But we see is that someone makes an effort to become happy in a particular way. You know, they may think things out, they may, you know, then make their endeavor. And when they get to the point where they get the endeavor, there may be a momentary feeling of euphoria that they've attained that position. But that soon disappears because it can't satisfy the soul, because it's only a transformation of the gross and subtle bodies and the situations around it that are connected to the gross and subtle body. Just like Prabhupada mentions about the bird is in the cage. And so if we just polish the cage nicely, then the bird's not happy. You know, you have to know what's the nature of the bird and what it requires. So, you know, the bird's in a very, you know, simple, cheap wire cage, and then you get a nice stainless steel wire cage. Then, you know, you become very wealthy and all that. You buy the bird a gold wire cage. But if during all that time you're not feeding the bird, you know, taking care of the bird, then what's the point of the nice cage? So that's the point, is that anything that the living entity is working for in the material world, it's only connected to the gross and subtle body. It's never connected actually with the soul. The impetus to do things, and that they want to be in, you know, ideal situations, perform, you know, their ideal actions to get their ideal results, is because of the nature of the soul itself. But the medium that they're working in, you know, with the external gross and subtle matter, then can't satisfy the soul, because the soul is eternal, right? Full of knowledge and bliss. And so that's on the eternal platform, while everything they're working on is on the temporary platform. So that can't satisfy you, right? You know, it's just like you're very, very hungry, let's say. And you want, you know, something to eat. So then I bring you something to eat, but when I come to serve it, I come with this little plate right in my hand, and I have a pair of tweezers, and I pick up, you know, it's like, you know, let's say, you know, a 2 millimeter cube, right? And I pick that up very nicely and very nicely, put it down, you know, on your plate and like that, and then bow and then go. You're not going to be satisfied, right? Because the soul being eternal, then these things need to last eternally. But we see is whatever happens here is always temporary. There may be some immediate happiness, you know, and then it drops off. You know, when you get something new, oh, it's great. Maybe the next day, oh, it's great. The third day, yeah, it's nice. But after that, then it gets less and less. And that's if it works out the way you wanted it to. Much of the time, it doesn't work out the way you want it to. And so that's why we see is that, you know, in the modern context, what will make people happy, what's valued, keeps changing because people get it and then they find they're not happy. So, oh, it must be something else then. It wasn't quite right. So they make the adjustments and that. So if they have, you know, some basic goal, let's say money, okay, yeah, if I get 100,000, I'll be good. Then they get that. Well, it's not quite enough. You know, we could get this and this. So if I had 500,000, then okay, then 1 million, then 10 million, then 100 million, then 1 billion. It just keeps going. Doesn't matter. It means you cannot eat any more food or put on any more clothes if you have $1 billion. Right? That's just the way it is. Most of the time you see the people that are up in the level where they wear $1 billion, they have $1 billion. What they wear is very much more simple. It's nice stuff, but very simple. Right? You know, their arrangements are simple and all that, you know. So they've gotten over the thing, oh, I got this, I got that, I got all these things, because they have all that. And it doesn't give them satisfaction. So just, you know, simple things in life are more important to them. So you'll see is whatever someone has, they're fighting for some cause or some things like that. The cause will never be completed. The crusade will never be completed. Right? The desire, attaining whatever it is they want to obtain will never be completed, whatever field it's in. So that's why then the point is made that you're performing your prescribed duties. Through the prescribed duties, you're getting your facility in which you think you'll become happy. But if in so doing you don't connect yourself to the Supreme Lord, then it's a waste of time. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say I have, you know, you may have seen some people showing recipes and cooking, or seen chefs cooking. You know, they have their nice frying pan, you know, they have their whatever it is that they're using to stir with, and the way they, you know, go like this and mix it, and, you know, without even having to stir it, and, you know, do all the different things and all that. Now, if I get the pan and I get that spoon and I just like this, just start going like this, you know, and move things around, and I'm doing all the techniques of cooking, technically. I might even turn on the fire, you know, get it down, get it all, but nothing's in the pot. Then will I consider, wow, look at his technique. Oh, this guy must be really, you know, really advanced cook. You know, oh, I wonder if he has any Michelin stars. And that, no, you'll just say, what's wrong with this idiot? There's nothing in the pan. He's not cooking. Because it's not about the pan. It's not about the thing. It's not about the flipping with the wrist, and it's about the cooking. Cooking engages the pan in that, but cooking's independent, right? It's independent. Whether you have this pan or that pan or this fire or that or this spoon or that, you can still cook because cooking is independent, right? And so that's the point that's being made here, is that bhakti is independent, and now you're going to apply it to your particular occupational duties. And in so doing, then those occupational duties become empowered with the chit potency. So along with your performance of your duties, you satisfy the soul by developing your love for Krishna. And at the same time, on the side, you get the benefit of having gotten whatever it is that you're doing. Right? But if you just get whatever it is that you were trying to do, which is only in context of the gross and subtle body, which are not the soul, then it's a waste of time because you've done nothing for who you actually are. You're the soul, not the gross and subtle body. So doing nice things for a gross and subtle body doesn't actually do anything for the soul. So that's why I said it's simply a waste of time. You can do it. How long does it last? How long is the billionaire in the news that he's the billionaire? Right? So some new ones come up, they're there for a while, and then they disappear. You never hear of them again. Right? And the ones that, you know, their grandfather, great-grandfather was rich, grandfather was with that, they're rich. You don't hear about them generally. Because for them, it's not about all people being known and all that. You know, it's not about the prestige. So it all changes. And even they have, you know, they go up, you know, Napoleon, you know, that he's the French Empire, right? And then he's dead. Where is he now? Where's the empire? Same with the Romans, right? They had from Italy all the way up to England, and half of Europe and all this. Where is it now? Now it's just down at the bottom, that little peninsula sticking out into the Mediterranean, everything else gone. And that's the European side. Then they had the other side that goes over Constantinople down to Alexandria and all of that. They had gone. And where are they? Where is Caesar? Where is Alexander? Where's Genghis Khan? Where are they? They're all gone. So they did something, and all we talk, oh yes, he did something great because okay, we could be great. He must have been so, but he's gone. He's dead. So it has nothing to do with it. So that's the point, is why make the endeavor for something that's temporary? Why not do things in devotional service? They use the same tools. The one you think the transformation of the tools and its immediate result is the actual point you want, but it's dead matter. It has nothing to do with soul. Well, if it's imbued with the chit potency, you're doing it to please Krishna. Then you're advancing Krishna consciousness, and the material things come just as a side. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the idea. Is that okay? Any questions on that, or yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Huh.
Maharaj, actually, what should be the mood while performing our occupational duties? Is it now how we can see that it is pleasing to the Lord? Is it by seeing the way Krishna wanted us to perform the duties? What should be the mood, Maharaj?
Okay. The whole idea is that means the soul belongs to Krishna, and the gross and subtle body is manifested by Krishna's external energy, which belongs to Krishna, right? Then the laws of nature governing that particular gross and subtle body, those laws are also made by Krishna, right? And so then in performing those duties, basically you can say is the whole Varnashram system, and that is maintaining yourself on the gross and subtle platform.
Yes,
Right?
yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
Means
Maharaj.
the Varna, it basically produces material facility. That's basically what it does. Right?
Yes, Maharaj.
And there might be some satisfaction if you're quite successful in it on the platform of false ego. So there might be some social, emotional benefit. But that is, a very slippery slope because you're dealing with envy. And at any time, someone else might make some arrangements that you're put on the side and they're in the front, right? So it's up. But so basically, its real purpose is it simply maintain it produces the facilities to maintain the body, right? And then the ashram is how basically, your cultivation of consciousness to elevate yourself, because it's the spiritual aspect. And in so doing, you're using the facilities generated by Varna, right? That's the thing, is that you're engaging those. Now, if you only engage those to only maintain the body and some emotional interactions with, family or community like that, then, all those will be temporary. But if you use that for elevating the consciousness, then that's better. But the whole point is since the soul is naturally servant of Krishna, he would use these things in such a way to be able to serve Krishna. Right? It's just like, let's say If a kid gets some money, he might spend it on, some video game or something, right?
Yes.
So then the point is people will put their what they get from Varna into what's important to them. So if Krishna consciousness is important, they'll put it into that, right? And you may, it means you maintain yourself, and then on top of that, right? Doesn't mean that the kid going down to the store to get his video game is not stopping and picking up a milkshake or something, so that body and mind can, be maintained together, right? That, or body and soul, right? Just enough to maintain body and soul, right? So the point is that comes along with it, that these are duties given by Krishna. What a Brahmin does, Kshatriya, what they're supposed to do, what you do with money, what you do in the family, who's got what duties and what relationship, all those is done by Krishna, given by Krishna. So if you do all those things because Krishna's given it, you do it that way because it pleases him. That's the point. It's taken care of, so along with it, you get whatever external benefits one was looking for at the same time as it elevates the consciousness, and you become attracted and attached to Krishna. That's the idea. That's why then so much is given on so many ways you can look at Krishna. That Krishna is the sun, light of the sun and the moon. He's the taste and water. He's the heat and fire. He's the strength of the strong. He's the, all those kind of things like that. It's just like, okay, you've just got, you're sitting at your desk and this and that, and then, you've been adjusted to some other place, right? To the, what do you call it, to the corner office, that's got the two windows on two sides, like that. So then, you have to move all the stuff. So then, that requires strength. So you get some big guy who can come along and move everything. So how are you moving it? It's still by Krishna's strength. It's still the Krishna. Krishna is helping you move all the thing. Why do you like that corner off? Because it has more light. And why? Because Krishna is the light of the sun and the moon. Krishna is a purifier. He is the wind. You can open the windows and get a cross breeze. You know what I'm saying? You say, oh, it has a nice space, but who's accommodating everything? The all-accommodating potency is Krishna's potency. It's still him. He accommodates. Instead of the little cubicle, now you have a bigger. The point is whatever it is we value, it's always Krishna. But we think it's the external when it's actually no. So that's the point. When we work on the point of devotion, then we'll see in everything that we're doing how it connects to Krishna also. Does that make sense? Because it's revealed. That's the point. It's prasada. It's not that the clarity comes from Krishna. It's not that I use my brain, therefore I get what I. That's karma. I'm so intelligent, I can work out Krishna. That's karma. They're thinking, oh, I'm jnani, I'm very intelligent. But this whole point of I did this, I get the result. That's karma. They may think they'll puff themselves up that I'm a big jnani, but no, it's just karma. You just, instead of using your physical muscle, you're using your brain. That's all. It's another muscle. That's all. Is that okay?
Yes, Manish. Thank you, Manish.
Okay. Okay, Mataji.
Krishna. Maharaj, I had a question about situations when we are inspired to do things for Krishna, but then many times, like we, as Westerners, I'm less pious background, we don't exactly know our nature. And then many times this happens. People try to do something for Krishna out of inspiration, but then things fail, and then they're not sure and get confused about what exactly failed. Was it that material side, or was it that Krishna didn't want me to do this, so how to better understand things in these situations? When
Well, that's the idea means what are the duties? So in other words, like you said, if you don't know exactly what your nature is, but you know what the duties are, then which one you think it is, do that duties. And then as you're doing, if you find that that works, so you might find that by applying it, that some other duty, seems to be more practical, then you start adjusting until you find the duty that works, right? Works means you're comfortable doing it. Whether you get fabulous results or not is something else. Like you see, there's the guy sitting down. Oh, let's just say, okay, you have, what do you call it? I don't know what if you call them. I think in Polish they call them sklep. Those little corner stores that sell everything that you use in your kitchen and stuff and around the house.
Okay.
Like a general store. It's just got everything in it. And it's just a little store run by some guy and his family. And it's always open at the time when you forgot something, so you can go there while all the big shops are closed. Right? So he's applying himself as a business person and getting some money from it. It's nothing big, nothing fancy, it's not shiny, it's not, all this and that. But it works, it takes care. Well, at the same time, as you have down the street, there's this huge, monstrous place, mall that's got 100 different shops in it, and it's owned by some, guy, and he's making huge amounts of money. It's just a matter of you apply yourself, and whatever you get, you get. It means the point is you have to see is what's the area that you're comfortable in. Because results, you can't guarantee. Results are not up to you. What you endeavor and what facilities and the facilities you have aren't up to you, right? You get according to you're in a situation, right? It's just like, let's say in the morning, you wake up, sit up, put your feet on the floor, look around the room. If you don't like it, can you just decide that, okay, the room should be, twice as big as this, the bed should be bigger. We should have more windows over there and this and that, like this, and this should be this kind of marble and all that. And it all happens, right? And then when you go in the bathroom, the little bathroom, you decide, oh, yeah, this should be 10 times bigger, and over here's this and that. And, how you say, walk-in swimming pool, and then your closet, okay, the walk-in wardrobe. And it all happens, right? Because you just decide, right? No, you have to work with what's there. The situation is fixed right now. In the present, it's fixed. Now you can make an endeavor to try to improve the quality of your situation, but it's dependent upon you doing the work and then getting the result. But once you have the result, what you have is what is there. It's dynamic. You can keep trying to develop it. But the point is your action is dependent upon a situation that's already there, and the results are something that you're not actually in control of. Right? Because so many people make endeavors and don't get what they think they're going to get. And someone else does something very simple. Like I remember seeing something that some guy was in a casino, and he had played and like that, and he was losing, losing, losing. So, he put in another coin and then just decided, oh, forget it. I'm not, He just got disgusted and walked off. Someone else noticed that he had started the thing but hadn't pulled the lever on the machine. They went over, pulled the lever on the machine, they won. So in other words, this person is supposed to win, that person's not. And it's not even that they had to make an investment. They just had to, take part. That's all. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point is so many different people are doing the same thing. And then it doesn't work. Like that. So you can see, in material life, so many examples of different people doing exactly the same thing. Like there's, somebody came out, I think it was there's some I heard about something where a court case came up about some musician said another musician stole his song, right? And he had put out the song 20 years ago. Nobody cared. Then another person in his own thing came up with some music and it had a few notes that were similar to the other guys. And so they say, oh, he stole my song. When it's no, he put he there's seven notes. No one can claim these are my seven notes, right? So he put them together, and it happened to be similar, but does that make sense? So it's like, that's the whole thing is that it's, you're not, the results aren't up to us. So what can, so the only thing that we have some, you can say, independence in is what we do. Right? So now if in the present, with the situation we have, according to, our duties, we perform an action, then we see what results Krishna will give. So that's the whole point, is that's why it's important to know what are the duties. Much of the time it's taught, no, you have to know the technique. No, first you have to know what are the duties, what it's for, what it's supposed to accomplish. Just like in education, then they point to the duty is you study, you teach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in teaching, you're supposed to make the student like you. So if the student's not becoming like you, something's wrong. Either it's the wrong student, or your teaching technique needs to be improved, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or that's all the better you are. So your students are exactly like you, and you're not impressed, so then you have to improve yourself. But you don't have to know. Kshatriyas, it's you have to protect the people.
Mm-hmm.
All the techniques of administration, management, and politics, and all these different things, if it's not protecting the people, it's not the duty, right? In business, in business or, those kind of things, economic field, you're supposed to make profit. What's your investment? You should get back more than what you put in,
yes.
Right? Krishna's always expanding, his energies are expanding, therefore things make profit. It's because of Krishna, not because of anything else, right? So the point is, if they're not making profit, something's wrong. You have to make an adjustment, right? And in your skill, it should be what the skill is that actually accomplishes, what that skill is supposed to do. You're making a chair. It should be when you finish working, there is a chair. If you finish working and there's a pile of sawdust and no chair, there's something wrong. Right? So you have to know what the duties are. Then you can apply yourself and then try to make adjustments to see that the duty is going nicely and that it's getting results. But if you only look at results and say, okay, well, what can I do to get that result? The point is what are you supposed to do? Because it's not a matter of I do whatever I want to get whatever result I want. You have to know what are your duties. Because if everybody does the same thing, it's just like in, let's say, in school, universities and that. Nowadays, it's like you look, okay, before you apply, then it's, okay, what jobs are going well? And then you go for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is it your nature to do that?
Mm-hmm.
If it is, okay, then you go for that, whether it's popular or not. But if it's not, then you go for something. And then if it changes, now what? So much of the time you could probably say most, a large amount of people in at least the Western environment are doing jobs that are not in line with their nature. They're not actually comfortable with their job. How many people, the degree they have, that's actually the job that they're doing? Some people, yes, but not a lot of people. So that's the whole point. What is your nature? Do that. You'll be satisfied. But the thing, no, I'll get more money if I do this. But the point is, you want one, you can't guarantee because it's not your nature. And two, even if you do, you're not satisfied doing those things. So even you have the better facility, can you enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the point, is that one has to see is what are my duties? And
mm-hmm.
according to my duties, then I engage in my particular occupation, right? That's the whole point. It's that's the mode of goodness. What is my duty? And do that because I'm supposed to, not because of the benefit. If you think, okay, we'll go for this because I'll get more money, that's mode of passion.
Mm-hmm.
And if one doesn't do the right thing and all this and that, that's the mode of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And as the verse is pointing out, then it has to be mode of goodness, knowledge of the mode of goodness means it's in line with the soul. You know, knowledge of the soul, how this, what is the soul, how does the soul work and everything like that. Mode of passion is then what knowledge will give me material benefit. And mode of ignorance is just mundane knowledge. So you're learning, let's say, techniques of management. That's mode of ignorance. Because unless you can apply that to get results, it doesn't even come up to passion. But the point is since, you know, you're just learning the knowledge, or you'll try to get the different things, but you're not doing it because you're supposed to with detachment, it'll never get to goodness. Even you go to a yoga studio, they're all there for their health or something else. So it's not that they're doing it for any higher purpose, not that they're supposed to be doing it. So it's mode of passion, and it's dealing with the body, it's knowledge of the body and all that. Then, you know, they're proud that, oh, I know this and I know that. But the point is it's all mode of ignorance. So unless, how does it connect to the soul? That's only puts in goodness. And now when you take that knowledge of the soul and connect that to Krishna, then it goes beyond the modes of nature. Right? Then it becomes nirguna. That will give eternal results. So that's what Suta Goswami is pointing out, is that if you're performing your occupational duty and you're not performing it on the platform of doing it to please Krishna, then you're wasting your time because you're not actually putting in the right effort. Right? It means technically you might be, but it's just like this. I just do it because it's just something that's there, right? You know, it'll be ignorance. I do it because the benefit I'll get from it, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say, okay, being a doctor, it's just, oh, I like doctor stuff, you know, so like that, but the mode of ignorance, because they don't know there's higher. If I'm doing it because I get lots of money and I have a big house and I have a prestige, that's mode of passion. Mm-hmm. But it's only when you're doing it on the platform of the soul, they understand, okay, living entities are in these gross bodies and subtle bodies, and they get sick, and by that they can't do their activities. So since they're supposed to, you know, properly perform their activities to elevate themselves, therefore I'll try to keep their bodies in good health so that they can do that'll be mode of goodness, right? You know, and whether you get, you know, the benefit or not, you know, you're doing because you're a doctor and that's what you're supposed to do. But only when you see is that these living entities belong to Krishna, and therefore you're taking care so they can do service for Krishna, you know, or at least I'm doing it in such a way in connection that it's my duty, so I do for, then it becomes transcendental. Then you're benefiting the soul. Even mode of goodness won't benefit the soul. It's just a nicer situation, right? You know, you're dealing in a simpler situation, more purified situation. You know, there's more knowledge. And so the quality of happiness coming out of it will be better, but it's still mundane. It's still mundane situational, mundane knowledge and mundane results. So the Satchit and Ananda aren't actually addressed. So it's only in devotional service. The situation is, you know, Krishna's arrangement, and I do service within that according to Krishna's pleasure to get a nice result to please Krishna. Then only it takes on the transcendental. And we can see is there's no shift. There's no change in what you're doing. You're just understanding what's actually going on and going deeper. It's like, oh, is it this knowledge or that knowledge? No, transcendental already includes all the knowledge. It's not two different kinds of knowledge. It's one type of knowledge in a proper understanding, or it's the same knowledge that's covered. You know, it's just like, let's say, excuse me. Let's say there's a drama, okay? And you have someone in the back who is running all the, you know, the sound, the music, and the lights, and all the different things like that, right? Now, if I know that he's doing and all that, and he's moving this, the lights are coming on, then I'm seeing things, what's going on. Right? Now, let's say they're covered, so I can't see. Now, I just think, oh, the lights are coming on their own, and the music's coming on its own. You know? So that's the whole point, is I think, oh, that's this lighting and that color and this and that, and it goes with this, and this music goes with that, things and all that. That's just mode of ignorance. The point is why is that going on? Because that person over there is arranging it. The music didn't happen on its own. The lights didn't happen on its own. They didn't just all happen on, there was arrangement. So yes, the material world, we like the illusion. Oh, this is so wonderful, and that we don't think about. Oh, God's doing, because what's why? What's it for? Why is he doing it? Who am I? They don't want to ask. They just want to go along and enjoy. They want to be entertained, right? So the whole point is knowing about lights and the colors and the music and the sounds and all those different things, and the knowledge of that. And that it's being done by this person because there's a purpose to the whole drama. Doesn't it's not two separate bodies of knowledge. It's the same knowledge. It's just taking it further till you actually get to that physics, the metaphysics, and you get to the transcendental. It's the same thing. It's just how you're looking at it. What depth you're going, that's all. It's thought, oh, it's different kind of no, no, it's not. It's that transcendental is the original, and the others are just parts of it, not knowing what it is. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you very much. Maharaj, just one last thing. I was like you explained about the Varna side. On the Ashrama side, also we may be confused that we try perform your duties, but there is some other person, some relationship doesn't work, and then you're thinking, is it not my nature, or is it the other person, or is it just I am in the wrong place, or like how to.
The point is the place that you're in, that's there where you apply yourself to. What are your duties? You do your duties. Whether other people do theirs is another thing. Means you do your duties, you get the credit for that. If other people don't do theirs, they're the ones that lose out. Right? Because it's bigger than just what's happening immediately. There's the long run. Right? And so that will be, the first point is that you're doing your duties. Then you can see is that in performing that, if that's not working, then you have to see is, okay, well, now is this situation or these particular applying the duties in this situation, is this actually going to make everything work? And if it's, not, but you have to understand is adjusting it means adjusting it to whatever is the situation that, how you say, gives, it'll give its own results. We can't expect that I'm going to do a different activity, but I'm going to get the result, the same results. Does that make sense? It's like if you work in the kitchen, you're going to get food, right? Like that. You work in the garage, you're going to get a table. You're going to go to work, you're going to get money. But you can't say is that, I'm going to cook in the kitchen, I'm going to get money. Or I'm going to do my job and push the computer buttons at work and I'm going to get food. Right? No, it's going to be you're going to get money, and with that money you can buy food. But you actually have to make the endeavor and buy the ingredients, then get them cooked. So the point is everything has its results. You have to see is what you're, what's going to be, the most comfortable. And comfortable, Prabhupada points out, is not uncomfortable. Right? That things will be fabulous, no. That things will not be, that things will be not uncomfortable, that's good. The food, you're comfortable with it. You digest it and everything. It's not that it has to be, fabulous every day is like this or that, or because that you can't arrange. You can't guarantee that. Maybe some days it's very exceptional and some days it's, but it shouldn't be uncomfortable. Not something that, you just really don't like, or you can't digest, or it's unavailable, or some days it's just what comes easily with your performance of your duties. So you have to see is that the situation you're in is okay, how much is it uncomfortable? If we see is okay, this much percentage is okay and this amount is not, then the point is if you adjust it, will it improve that? You know, it's okay if I have this much okay and this much not. If by changing it, will I have this much okay and now it's only this much not? Or will I have, okay, this much is okay and this much is not? You know, so you have to judge on what's going to be okay for you. You know, it's just like, let's say brahmachari, they sleep on the floor. You know, it means on a mat or something, but I'm saying there's no set bed in that, and the spot's not set. You know, you're a little late, and when you come, then someone else is sleeping in the spot you like to sleep in. So you sleep somewhere else. That's just the way it is. And, you know, it's no big deal. You know, if you really like the spot, be there on time. And if not, then don't worry about it. You know, like that. You know, so, you know. So that's the thing, is that now if that is comfortable for you, then that lifestyle is for you. But if that's not, you want to have a specific place that at any time is this, that, it's made like this, that has, you know, these arrangements, then you have to perform the duties that produce those facilities.
Okay.
That's the whole point, is you have to see is. And it's not that, yeah, I could do that for one day or 2 days, you know, like you're on the train, you know, from, you know, how you say, after the Gaur Purnima festival from Calcutta to, you know, Delhi or to Mathura, you know, and that's a bit of a trip. You know, you're sleeping on a wooden plank and there's all kinds of people talking all day and all night and this and that. Yeah, you bet for 2 days you're going to Vrindavan. Yeah, you can do that. But can you do that every day? No. So therefore, then, you know, don't become the guy on the train that sells peanuts, because that's all he does all day, right? You know, so in every, so you choose what you can actually sustain. That's the thing. Stableness is what's important, because in stableness, then you can start to think about Krishna, right? If I learn something new, I'm only looking at the technique. But once I know the technique, then I can start to think, oh, I could do this, I could do that, I could improve it in so many ways. That comes from steadiness. So steadiness is the way to improve something. So you have to think, is what could I steadily live at? You know, both in the way of varna or ashram. But the most important, as the verse is pointing out, is whatever it is, whatever situation, whether it's the correct one today or not, but, you know, it's like where you are today, then you do it in connection with Krishna. That's the real point. Because whether you perfect your you know, occupational duties or not, that's not the important thing. That you do them connected to Krishna, that's the real test. That's what it means. Because if you don't, then it's just a waste of time. The guy's there, he's a billionaire, and then tomorrow he's dead. Now what happens to his billions? Right? And there's a good chance, like Prabhupada said, you know, he got the house just the way you want, the car, the wardrobe, everything's just the way he wants it. Now he's attached. So now what happens? He has to come back as a bug in the house so he can crawl around in the closet. And, you know, he really liked his, what do you call it, Italian, you know, wool suit. So now as a bug, he can come and chew on that. And, you know, in other words, that was his thing. Now that's his occupation is eating that Versace suit. Right? Then it's like, who cares? You know, he was a billion. Yeah, you go into the closet, there's a bug there. You got the bug on the end of your finger. You think this guy was the owner of this house and everything in his last life. You know, it's like kind of like, you know, you're going to take him out and make him the chair of the board. No, you're going to open the window and put him outside. You know, or if you don't care about the Versace suit, you put him back in the closet. You know what I'm saying? And I've chosen the nice options. There are more options, but we won't go into those. Right? So that's the whole point, is that it's a waste of time. It seems like it's good, but it's like a flash in the pan. It just goes boosh, and then that's it. There's nothing. So that's the idea, is that whatever you're doing, even if right now it's not, means you're, this is where you're at now, you're trying to do, it's not working out, but you try to do that for Krishna, you're getting the spiritual benefit. And by Krishna's grace, then you get purified, you move forward, you'll see is, okay, with that working, or maybe something else, or even if you decide it's something else, do you have the ability to, you know, the character and that to do that? That comes by devotional service. So on the mundane platform, whatever you have is all you get. Right? I don't know if they use, they still use the term WYSIWYG, but that's gone. Never heard of it?
No.
Dina Dayal, never heard of it? WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. You know, it meant it on the screen. What is there on the screen? That if you print it, you'll get the exact same thing. Because before it was what you saw on the screen, when you printed it, it was something else. So they worked on that for quite a long time to get it so that they matched. Maybe that's why you don't hear the term anymore, because now it works. So the point is that on the material platform, if you're supposed to have this much money or this much skill, that's all you're going to get. Doesn't matter what you do. Right? But in devotional service, because you're purifying the consciousness, you can work at levels higher. You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, you will be at your best if you're in Krishna consciousness, because then the consciousness being purified, you can work at higher, because if you're working near guna, then it's going to be, it translated in the material world, it's going to be minimum sattva. It's going to put you on the top of the pile. So even materially, there's nothing better than doing devotional service. But if you do it like that, that's mixed devotional service. But Krishna is so clever that he will fulfill the desire, but in such a way that you won't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Main thing is wherever you're at now, use that for Krishna. And then Krishna will reveal if it, you know, can go some other direction, or if where it is fine.
Thank you very much.
Raghunath Priya, you had something, or?
No, Maharaj, it's already explained. It's okay. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay. Then Mangala Chitra Mataji, you had something, or?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj, my humble obeisances. I don't know if it was already covered, but we were talking today with my husband about Stri Dharma, and is it Vedic that the woman goes out and work and collect money, or is she supposed to just...
If it has to be done, yeah. It means Manu mentions,
mm-hmm.
you know... husband's out or you know, some situation is there, there's not enough, then they can. It's not ideal, but they can.
Yeah.
And but it's always, you know, something that's simpler, that's more comfortable with dealing with people and those kind of elements. Does that make sense? You know, just like the thing it's recommended is like you know, you've maybe seen in India or in Mayapur, you have those ladies that come from the village and they, you know, they clean in the house, they clean or they help in the kitchen or, you know, help with the laundry or things like that. Manu recommends that. So we'll say, oh, they're just a bunch of villagers, but there's a good chance that they're the few in the whole world that are actually doing what's recommended if you have to go outside your home.
Mm.
Does that make sense? So in other words, something to do with people, something to do with relationships. It's a comfortable place because other workplaces tend to be uncomfortable because people go for mechanics, mm-hmm. and mechanics isn't enough for the feminine nature. There needs to be that kind of personal relationships, dealings, those kind of elements. Then it's expected, right? So you have to see what field gives that. Now, if one's doing something beyond, like we're saying here, is that in the way of, you know, some maintenance so that one can, you know, travel and preach and do things like that, then you know you just see that it's ones that are you're comfortable with and can be maintained. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, or you see it's like teaching in the house, you know, like that. Are you teaching like you'd have before you'd have like what's called in English a governess. You know,
Yes.
she teaches, you know, she teaches the kids in the house and all that. You know, she's educated and all that. She teaches like that. Or, you know, you just see something you're doing. So that's why is that's the advantage of devotional service, because preaching is about people and you're dealing with the living entities and how they connect in their relationship with Krishna. So preaching works very nicely, you know, for men, women, everybody, for children. It works nice. Now, getting into technical management and all that, that may or may not work very nicely. If it's something that you're doing on your own, you know, just you're working out your own travel arrangements or, you know, different things like that, then it's independent, then it works nicely. But if it's things that depend too much on others, then you find that things, because everybody's different, it might not work out the way you want. Does that make some sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense, Maharaj.
Yeah. So in other words, those things that you're comfortable at, that you do, and those things that are not so comfortable, don't do. You know, because that's the thing, is that involvement is just like, let's say, going into, you know, like you're saying, go to a university program, give a class, give a lecture there, people ask questions, you know, you answer them afterwards, you might talk to them personally, you know, try to bring them up in Krishna consciousness. And these kinds are nice because it's personal and you're dealing and it's a straightforward Krishna conscious element that you can deal with on a personal platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that kind of thing one can do, you know, whether it's programs you've arranged or it's programs someone else has arranged, as long as you have you know, ability to arrange those, and it's not necessarily dependent upon others, right? Or someone else has invited you to a program, so you go, and if it's comfortable, then you continue, and if it's not, they didn't arrange nicely, or they don't deal nicely, then you don't have to go because it's you're not obliged, right? But if it's things where you get into, you know, into get more into kind of management that's not in your control, then that kind of thing throws it off. That's why in the past, women would, you know, be comfortable in the home because they control the home. They set it up the way they want. The couch goes where they want it. The curtains are the color they want it. How you hang the curtains. You want them straight. You want them pulled back. You want them put into fluffy things. You want to do more of a French thingy. You know, all that, that's there in their control. And so they control the whole thing. What's on the menu? How is it cooked? All the different things. All that's there. What plates are you? And it's complete control. So that's the whole point, is that one has to see is that, since there's a sense of possession, it has to be something that you can actually have that sense of control and it's sustainable. While if you work in these, you know, more outside things, then the problem is it depends on so many other people and their views and this and that, and so you don't have that control, and so then it turns into a problem, right? So yes, people are right or wrong in their dealings, but the point is it's a field that then one doesn't have that. That one is not able to create the consistency needed, right? In other words, the foundation must be consistent, and then the application and experience that will have the variety. Does that make sense? But it has to be consistent. But if it's dependent on others, it's not. So that's why the Brahminical nature, what you're not dependent upon others, that's then generally the recommended. You know, or it's that you don't worry about what the situation is and whatever comes along. Like, you know, like begging, you go begging, and sometimes people give you, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're not. But you don't care, so it doesn't matter. But if you care, don't go begging. Right? In other words, that's why it's considered, how you say, I think in Manu, when it mentions the six kinds of occupations, begging is one of them. I think it's called mritya. I mean, You have rita, which means you collect from the fields. What's left over, no one wants. They've harvested the field. What's left in the field, you go sweep that up, take that home. Or you go to the marketplace, and after the market closes, the grains that are on the ground or this or that, you sweep those up and take those home. Right? That's rita. Then amrita means you just whatever comes without any endeavor, whatever comes on its own. You make no endeavor, whatever comes. It's not a recommended occupation because most people that doesn't work for them. But it's one of those, like you see Sukadev Goswami, he makes no arrangements and whatever comes like that. In other words, Krishna through the material energy makes arrangements for you. You know, or we see like Raghunath Das Goswami sitting on the side of Radhakund, right? The tiger is coming. Krishna is saying, hey, go away. You know, or the sun's there, Radharani's coming. He's unaware. He's just absorbed in his bhajan. So that's why it's there. It's one of the six, but it's not the recommended one. It's not, in other words, it's not part of your duties. If you come to that platform, then yeah, you can do that. Then you have mrita, which means death. That's begging. Because you will be insulted. That's why brahmacharis beg. It makes them humble. You know, it keeps them humble. Right? Like that. You know, pramrita means farming. You know, it means many deaths because all the bugs and worms, when you plow the field and all that, then they get killed. So it's farmer's job. That's why Brahmins generally don't do farming. You know, they don't do it as an occupation. That means of that trade is actually, for Brahmins, is better. For Vaishyas, then taking care of cows and farming, that's better. In other words, taking care of cows and farming is their first choice, right? And then next choice, second choice would be business. And third choice, last choice would be banking. Banking's not recommended at all, but, you know, it's popular. Does that make sense? So, you know, and trade is called satyanrita, which means half truth, half lie. You know, you ask the guy, you go into the shop, you like something, oh, how much is this? And you notice he doesn't go 100 rupees. He goes, for you, 150. So for you, that point, he's calculating who you are, what this, how much he could get and things like that. And he goes, 150. Then you go, what? I bought this 3 days ago for 25 rupees. Then he'll go, okay, 30. You know, but if you say, oh, that's so much, you know, I won't pay any more than, you know, 100 rupees. And he'll go, you know, depending on how much he thinks or how, he'll go 140. Then you go, no, not more than 120. Okay, 130, and then deal. But it's only worth 25. You know, so that's why it's called satyanrita. They can't tell you how much it costs because, one, you won't pay. Even if they told you, this cost me 20 rupees. You know, buying, transporting, keeping, this and that. So therefore, I'll sell it to you for 25. You go, oh, you're lying. I'll give you 10. I've seen it between devotees. A devotee shop owner and another devotee. Because they were friends, he was giving it to him for cost. Cost means everything. Not just what he paid, but what transport, everything, storing. So he was saying, I can give this to you for 200 rupees. And that, you know, he was selling it for, you know, 250 or whatever it is, 300. But the other devotee thought, oh, you're lying. I'll give you 150. And he said, listen, I'll give it to you for free as a friend, or you give me 200 rupees. But I'm not losing money. I'm either giving in charity or at least making my costs. You know, he was saying, he says, no, you're not giving 150. Either take it for free or give me 200. You know, because that's the thing, is no one believes a businessman. If he tells you, oh, it only costs this much, you know, generally speaking, he's lying. But in this case, because they were friends, he wasn't. You know, so that's why it's called satyanrita. But, you know, it's better than, for a Brahmin, it's better than farming. You know, so like that, you see, is what kind of things are there, what's going to be what's going to give the best advantages for being engaged in as much direct Krishna consciousness as possible with the least amount of anxiety. You know, it means one takes anxiety for Krishna, but it should be an area where you're responsible for that anxiety, not a group of other people. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, it makes sense.
Yeah, so there's no problem if lady has an occupation, as long as it doesn't take away from the duties that are happening naturally within you know the position. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So you just see what works nicely. Like that.
Also, one question regarding the consciousness while we are doing our duties. So should one maybe in the morning establish some kind of, I don't know, fixing the mind on that this I'm doing this for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, because I find it quite difficult to always remember. I'm more like an automatic pilot. I do my things, I do my duties, but I feel many times the heart is not there. You know, the consciousness.
That's also a matter of practice. That's why a sadhana bhakti is there to practice. One's doing bhakti, but like you said, sometimes the consciousness is there or not, sometimes more or less. That's the advantage of like festivals and things. The tendency is that day you'll think a bit more of Krishna. Like on Janmashtami, you'll tend to think a bit more of Krishna than you might on other days. So point is to be engaged. So like what you're saying is kind of like a sankalpa, I'd like to do this today or things like that. But then it means at the end, when you finish, then you have to remember that it's for Krishna. If in between you don't, but at the end it gets offered to Krishna, then it works out. Right? But one has to be remembering that sankalpa, it's not that I'm doing it. I'm simply the assistant servant of the servant of the servants in trying to perform this duty. And so, you know, how it'll work out will be up to Krishna. You know, that's the whole thing, is we understand we're not the doer. And then that'll work. The point is like that. It's just like going to, that's another way to do if you want to improve the consciousness there on being able to think and that during the day or stuff like that, or being more aware, is it's from Pancharatras. When you go to sleep at night, the last thing, you know, when you're offering obeisances and that before going to sleep, then you think about what you did during the day that was, you know, for Krishna, offerable to Krishna. You know, and then what things you could do to improve. So it's not a matter of, oh, it was all terrible, I'm this, that. No, it's a matter of, okay, what could I have done? So then what things you could do, what things were nice and that, you could try to continue, and what things could improve. And then, you know, pray to Krishna like that, then go to sleep. Then when you wake up in the morning, you offer your obeisances to there. Then you think about how, you know, today I'd like to do this, you know. You know, you're talking general. You don't have to get into full detail. You can do that later. But in other words, the last thing in the going to bed is how it went for Krishna in the morning is what I'd like to do today for Krishna. What I did for Krishna and what I'd like to do for Krishna. Then later on, okay, like you said, you sit down, you plan out whatever it is you're going to do. I'm going to do this, that, and so many things and make the, you know, all that. And then you start doing. And then however it works out, then, you know, you then see what you can do to improve. But it's all, the results are always in Krishna's hands. Focus means you understand the field in Sambandhabhide and Prajana. You understand Sankarshan Prajumna Nanirudha. And then endeavor, that's going to be the Vasudeva. But it's ultimately, it's about results are up to Krishna. It's for his pleasure, so it's going to come out the way he wants. So then that's the thing, dependence on the Supreme. That's the third principle. Okay?
Yes, very good. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay. Arriba. Okay. Mahakarunaji.
Jai Ho Maharaj. I just wondered if you can clarify on the occupation of the Vaishyas, which are the lower one? Is that banking or farming?
Banking's the lowest. No,
Okay.
farming's for Vaishyas, farming is good. Best is taking care of cows, but when you have cows, you have bulls. So cows give milk and bulls plow the fields. So they go together.
Okay.
They call it Krishi Goraksha. So you're taking care of cows, so naturally then you're also taking care of the fields. Right? The emphasis, some might emphasize more cows, some might emphasize more farming, but the point is like Krishna is the cows and Balaram's the farming. Right? But they both take care of cows, so it's like that. Then if you can't do that, then what is certain means if what you have, from the farming in that you have surplus, that you can then trade. That's the natural trade, is that I have more, I trade that. So I have these things from from the cows and the land, I'm getting all these facilities. But let's say I don't have clay pots, right? Another village does clay pots. They don't farm, they just do that. So I might trade rice for clay pots. Like that. That would be the natural thing. Then you have when you get into the cities where people aren't producing, they're only a medium in between. They're technically, it means in the world you call that means they have a where they general, you have it, they're dalals, right? And so then you have the farmer, you buy from the farmer and then sell it to the guy who's going to sell it in the city. So you're a middleman. So you produce nothing. You just are able to connect these two. So you can see it's not quite as good as the guy who produces or the guy who nicely sells. You're just in between. And they're the ones that generally cause the trouble. Like I think all the farmers, rioting in Delhi, it's actually being pushed by the dalals. It's not really the farmers at all. The dalals have told the farmers they're getting ripped off when actually it is, he's charging them more because they're not getting enough because he's taking too much, but he's trying to blame it on somebody else like that. So like that. And so then trade then is okay. If you don't have, you're in the city, you buy things, you this and that, you sell and like that, that's fine. Because then in that, then, people need things, they buy it. Problem with banking is, okay, they need money, but now the point is you've got their money. You've lent them money, now they owe you money. I remember talking to with one before you had the local guys on the street. I don't know if you see them now at all. I don't think so. But before I remember seeing you see this guy sitting on the street corner, in kind of neighborhood areas or just kind of where people live and all that. And you see that they've got a handful of money. And so these are guys you can borrow from. You can say, okay, I need 1,000 rupees, so then you go and get that, and then you have a certain rate that you have to pay it back at. So I remember talking to one guy who says, what about, if they don't pay you back? And he says, I'm not doing it for them to pay me back. I'm doing it for the regular payments they make. That's how he makes his profit. Right? If they have to give him, let's say, 20 rupees a week, like that, but because it keeps increasing the money, they never actually are able to pay him back. So he's got 20 rupees for the next so many years, unless the guy gets a whole bunch of money and then comes and gives him the money, and then that's it. So that's the thing is banking, you're making money off of people just because you had some. And they become dependent and all that, and especially modern banking, because the Vedic doesn't allow anything other than straight rates. That's all. It's a straight rate thing, flat rate. Same with tax, it's flat rate. Except for certain specific identified areas. I think I'm not sure how many there are, but there's a handful of areas that the taxes is specifically engineered for that particular thing. Like, let's say gold merchants, what they're dealing with is so expensive, you know, they can only sell it for a little bit more than what it is because people can't afford. So the amount of money they make, so let's say they're doing something, let's say they're doing something at 10,000 rupees, but their markup can only be very small because the thing itself costs so much. Therefore, the tax on gold merchants is only like 2%. Because the amount of profit they're making out of the, you know, so because you look at, oh, it's 10,000, so he must have got so much, but he didn't. You know, so there are some rules like that. But otherwise, it's flat rates. You know, if the tax is 16.5%, that's what it is for everybody. You know, you're the biggest guy, you're the smallest guy, it's always the same. Right? And that's dependent upon the tax is fixed, you know, by what's actually gotten, what you have to see, what, you know, like say the crops came in this year, but it wasn't a good harvest. So now normally they would have made, let's say, 10 times what they invested. But this time they only got, let's say, 2 times what they invested. So you can't take as big a tax because they need half of that. So basically what's left, that's what you can tax off of. You can't tax off of, you know, something. So I mean, there are ways that it has to be adjusted. And that's why the government has to keep on top of the tax collectors and that they're not cheating. Because otherwise they'll try to get as maximum they can because they have a fixed rate they pay generally. You know, like we see is, I can't remember if it was in Chaitanya Charitamrita or something, explains that the amount of money they had to pay. You know, it's just like, okay, you have the tax for this region, you have to pay me this much every year, this much to the government. So if the taxes, you know, the volume of tax coming in is greater, the tax they pay is still the same above. So they make more profit. And so if what's coming in is less, they make less profit. And so they're going to squeeze the people to get more. So then the government has to control them that they don't do that. You know, so everyone has their job. So the point is it's that. So banking now with these compound interests and compound on compound and, you know, it's nowadays, let's say before it was you bought a house, right? It's your house. You got a mortgage on it, but the mortgage is, you know, going to be 25, 30 years, but you're paying a small amount. And when the time is up, then it's there. And if at any time you had more money, you could just pay it off. You know, say, okay, I bought this for 100,000. I paid 75,000. I worked something out. I got more money. I got 25. I just pay him. It's done. But nowadays, you can't do that. You have to pay that fixed amount. You can't pay more. And let's say you paid, it'll take you 30 years to pay it off. And let's say after 20 years, you've been paying. And then something happens that you can't pay. They take the house. It's theirs. That 20 years, you lost. You get nothing. That's new. Before it was, they would pay you for the 20 years, or they pay you for that last bit and then take your house. They'd sell the house and then pay you something, and then they like that. Now nothing. No, it's just designed that you're a slave. That's all. All it is you pay them money, and they just sit there and make money. All they do is figure out newer ways to cheat the people. That's it. That's a banker. So in the Vedas, they're called an urser. I mean, that's the English. Can't remember what the Sanskrit is, but in other words, they're considered the lowest. Like that. There's a discussion in Manu about who's better, a Brahmin who's not a devotee or a banker who is. Right? And so the demigods can't work it out because the Brahmin is such a good, you know, good person, but he's not a devotee, but he's a good person. And the banker, they're the scum of the earth, but he's a devotee. Now, being a devotee is good, but the guy's scum. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, they, you know, scrape off the bottom of your shoe, you know, before you go in the house kind of guy. You know, that's the Vedas. Modern, they're in suits and that, and they're very respectable. And the Vedas, they're considered scum, right? Because they just rip people off. They have no scruples, and you can see in the modern. So that's why it's controlled. If they do that, then it's okay. Then it's a respectable, okay job. But the modern, these guys are animals, right? So then they can't work it out. Then Brahma comes in and says, what's going on? What's the problem? Says, oh, we can't understand this. And they explain it. And he says, don't make two things that are unequal equal. Right? So then he says that the banker is better. And they said, how? Because of devotional service is transcendental. Being a banker, you know, being lowest of the low, or the Brahman, these are material. You can't compare material to spiritual. Therefore, the banker as a devotee is way better than the Brahman who's not. Right? Of course, the banker as a devotee will still respect the Brahman because of his, you know, particular material qualities. But as far as actually who's making the best use of their human life, the banker is. Therefore, even connected to Krishna, then a banker is, you know, okay. But if you're not a devotee, then pond scum. Like that. Yeah, because I remember once, I was actually one time called into a board meeting to a bunch of, they were like, I say, they were, I think they were, it probably was a mix, but basically it was a Hindu group who wanted to set up a Hindu bank. And they wanted to know what was the Vedic considerations. You know, I mean, I presented it more nicely, but I told them about the different things and no compoundness, all straight into all these things like that. You know, they were happy, they're pleasing this and that, and never heard from them again. So in other words, it wouldn't make the money they wanted, so they're not going to do it. they just thought, okay, we can, you know, this is a special niche market, because I think that there were other religions were setting up their own banks so that people from that religion, they put their money into the bank rather than a general bank. So, you know, it's a good idea. But they thought, you know, they could make, you know, there's some techniques in the Vedas, they could make more money. But when they found out they'd make less, then they, you know, no, they weren't interested. Is that okay? So in other words, for Vaishyas, then taking care of cows and then naturally taking care of the land, that's the first thing they'll do. And if they can't do that, or if that goes well, they can do that and some trade. Or if that's not there, they can do trade. If that's not there, they can do banking. So it'll go down like that. And for Brahmins and Kshatriyas, if they can't do their duties, well, specifically Brahmins, Kshatriyas, it doesn't matter. But better they do trade than farming, right? Like that, because, and then even it says you should only sell things that are people need and aren't overly fancy. They don't have an allusion to them. Like the example is given, like if you're selling cloth, sell plain cloth. You know, white cloth. You just sell white cloth. It's cloth people need. They need to dye it. They will. They need to make it into things. They will. But it's not fancy cloth with all the different, you know, jari on it and different things. And it creates that illusion. And people don't necessarily need that. They need the white cloth. And then they'll do things with it. Does that make sense? So in other words, the Brahma would do something that is things people need. It's straightforward. And, you know, it's obvious. Okay, it costs this much. You get this much profit, this, that. You know, it's straightforward. Well, the Vaishya does business. He can sell whatever, you know, will make profit. But it's still, it should be regulated by, what do you call it? It has to be things that people require. So nowadays, you could probably 90% of what's on the market wouldn't be allowed because most people don't need it. You know, it's just like on the internet, you want to buy a nice chair for your house. And you look on the internet and this one place has a nice chair just the way you like it, you know, for a very competitive price, right? So that you buy the chair, it comes, you know, in the email, you know, by whatever it is, the company delivers it. And you get it, and the chair is only this big, right? Because you can't tell in the picture how big it is. Now, does anybody need a chair that big? I mean, other than Barbie and Ken. But, you know, Barbie and Ken's chair that much would only probably cost you, you know, $2 like this, while this you actually spent $50 or $100. So they just cheat. So there's so much of the stuff out there is just unnecessary because it's just junk. And then you have, of what is not necessarily junk, how much do humans actually need? You know, so that kind of thing you have to see. So those things that people need, and that, and then, you know, the profit margin is stuff, you know, like that. And so you have money, you're comfortable and all that, but it's not, you know, not ridiculous. Is that okay?
Yes, if I can just make a comment about the banking, because even in the non-Vedic cultures, up until the Romans, there was the concept of the Jubilee year, where at regular intervals, you were forgiving debts that was unpayable. And the Assyrians, they understood that if they don't have that system, the whole thing, the compound interest, you know, will grow faster than the society will grow. So it used to be part of the banking system, and that was destroyed by the Romans, and we are basically in the same tradition. So I'm wondering, do you know if in the Vedic tradition there is something as the Jubilee year?
I had never heard of the Jubilee year, but let's say the person dies, you can't put the debt on his family. He owes you money. He owes you money. He's dead. It's gone. You can't say, well, now his wife and kids have to pay it. No, it's gone. Or the other way around. The guy that's, you gave some money for him to hold, but he dies. You can't go after the family members to get the money.
No.
You know,
the general idea about the Jubilee year was that, you know, if you have to, you know, leave your house, you know, shut down the business, you know, you're not producing anything. So better you forgive the debt, and then you are still a part of the society that can, you know.
Oh, no, I'm saying that's nice, but I'm just saying I haven't heard that there is some, I can't remember something specifically like that.
Okay.
You know, because they also, like we said, in the Vedic, you don't have compound interest. So okay. You don't have that problem. That's the problem. It mentions, Manu mentions quite a few different kinds of interest rates. So because it's not my field. So I only remember the compound, but it gave like four or five different ones that can't be used.
Mm-hmm.
So basically speaking is that these societies allowed those to be used, but then you had, like you said, the Jubilee year,
mm-hmm.
you know. But in the Vedic, they didn't allow it. So that way then you know, you wouldn't be, it's something that the people can pay back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, and even if you couldn't, let's say you owed, you could go work for the guy for free, and he takes care of you. And you just work until you pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you always have a place. You know, you're not out on the street, you know, so. Does that make sense? You know, he had to give you food and board. You know, mm-hmm. you were basically like the family, you know, but at the same time as, you know, you didn't have the same facilities. And you did and you worked, and so whatever would be the natural thing just paid off the debt. You didn't have to pay for food and clothes and this and that. You just, you know, whatever work you did went towards paying off the debt, and they maintained you.
Hmm.
You know, so like that. So the Vedas do have that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was also the thing in Christianity. I don't know when it switched, but it wouldn't have been so long ago that in Christianity, I think the Christians weren't allowed to be bankers. You, as a Christian, you could not be a banker. Well, there's no such law in the Judaics, so they would do the banking. And so therefore the Jews would become wealthy and people didn't like that. You know, I'm not sure if in Islam they allow.
They have something about interests. They're not allowed to take interest, really, but some they're doing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing now. But I'm saying before, but Christians weren't. That's why then all banking was all done by the Jews. You know, and because banking was considered bad, they considered, therefore, the Jews that were doing that were bad. But at the same time, they all needed money. They all needed it. So, you know. And you can see is now the Christians get into it. It's so cutthroat. And so that it means they just take over. Like this thing when I mentioned how you can be working on a mortgage for, you know, for so long and it's not counted as anything. You just paid them interest. It's not like, okay, 20 years, I own 60% of the house. No, you own nothing. Until you pay it off, it's not your house. And if any
that's
time
really,
you default, they can come and take the house. Oh, no, it's completely terrible. You know? And also, I think it is the interest rates. Someplace like in America, the rent you'll get off the place is not enough to pay the mortgage. So they make the mortgage. Before it was the mortgage was lower than rent. But now they've made it the other way. So the only guys can actually pay are big business people. You know, so it's designed to get rid of, you know, individual house owners. I think in Europe it's not like that, but in America it is. So they do all these crazy things. They're just cutthroat. You know, they're not. It's not human.
No.
You know, human means everybody should prosper. You'll prosper, but they should. Everybody else should also. Maybe you make more. You know, but still, everybody should do okay. But the modern is. These people do okay, and everybody else can suffer, and who cares, you know? Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Raghunath Priyaji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I want only ask you the practical question about we are generally many years distributing Krishna Prasadam and some devotees are arguing many times if it's the Vaishya activity or it's Brahmana activity, then if you can clarify this point.
I'm trying to think of, I'm stuck between what is my natural response and what might be a nicer response. is that the Brahminical means it's based on the point of devotional service and all that. So does it, when it's engaged in Krishna's service, does it actually matter? Because then it's all Brahman. Right? If let's say you're running a restaurant and, you know, like that and selling prasad and that way maintaining yourself and you're doing nice service and everything like that, or the temple is running a restaurant and it's helping maintain the temple because it's all being done connected to Krishna, does it actually matter? You know, because then they could come down to, okay, cleaning the bathroom. What is that? You know, so then if they're a Brahmin and it's not a Brahmin duty, then who's cleaning their bathroom? Especially if this is devotees in the West. They don't have servants. In India, you can afford to get people to come in and clean your bathroom and kitchen and do that. But in the West, there's not. So does that mean they live in a house that's dirty with a dirty bathroom? And if they're not, it's clean. Who cleaned it? And if they cleaned it, then are they a Brahmin? They cleaned the bathroom. So does that make them a Shudra? You know, I'm saying that's, in other words, that was my natural go-to kind of answer. You know, and the people who are complaining, what's their nature? What do they do? Are they full-time pujaris and preachers and book distributors that they're making this comment? Or are they?
Generally, the people who are working somewhere in the karmic work.
Yeah, so that's the point is this, are they the ones to judge? And if they say we're all devotees, it doesn't matter. So then what does it matter if it's Vaishya or Brahman? The point is that you're making some profit off of it, and that profit, where is it going and why are you doing it? So especially if you're maintaining the temple or maintaining the devotees so they can do service, then what does it matter? Point is when you do, the point is in doing selling, distributing prasad and selling prasad like that, you have to make sure that the investment you put in is less than the amount you sell it for. Right? If you're trying to make profit. If it's being done as a non-profit thing like that, and so just it covers the expenses, so you cover your expenses. But no profit, then that's another thing. Then that's more like an NGO, or you're getting money from others and that, and you're distributing prasad for free, or something very minimal. So it's more of a charity, So it's just a matter of there's rules, When you're dealing with money, the point is what money you invest, you should get more than that back. Just like if I put one sack of grain into the field, I should get back 10 or 20 sacks. If I put one into the field and I get back half a sack, that's a problem. Right? So the whole point is laws govern it, but the point is who's doing, So, okay, let us say I sing for Krishna. Does that make me a Brahmin or does that make me a Shudra?
It makes you Brahma.
Yeah. Now, what if I sing for money?
Means you have the Vaishya mental.
Vaishya, or no, actually Shudra, because it's not a, unless you're the guy running a business where you have 10 people who do singing and you arrange the programs and then they get paid for that and you have your cut and they get theirs, then it's a Vaishya. But if it's just your kirtanier for sale, then it's a Shudra. Right, skilled trade. And so then the point is it's the mentality. If it's being done for Krishna, then what does it matter? Arjuna is a Kshatriya. Does it matter? He's the authority on Bhagavad Gita. He's a Kshatriya. You can say, oh, how can he be? He's not a Brahmin. But he's a devotee, and so he learned from Krishna, he's the authority. But the point is the rules still apply. If it's a Brahminical activity, then it has to be you're not making profit off of it. Right? And so then if you're like doing prasad distribution, that's taking care of the temple, then you can't say that that's Vaishya. It runs by Vaishya rules. Right? Like if I want to do a mathematical equation, I have to follow the laws of math, but why I'm doing that equation, is it for business? Is it to calculate, how to, design the temple? Is it how much bhoga we need for the deities? So the whole thing is they have to understand that mechanics isn't the only way to look at something. Like that. So you have to see what's the mentality, what's the intent. Like that. And even if it is Vaishya, who cares? And if they're working outside in a paid job, that's a Shudra. Why are they making comments about someone, whether it's Brahmin or Kshatriya? I mean, Brahmin or Vaishya, as if the Vaishya is bad. It's already one step above them. So should they be making the comment? I think there's a, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It's logic because I think that they just want to that they are thinking, okay, you are elected temple devotees, then you supposed to be the Brahmana, but you see you are doing the Vaishya things, that it means that you are not so much good like you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And since you're doing the Brahmin things in the temple, and you have to go out to sell things because someone like him is not giving donations to support the temple, then now who's the bad guy here? They say do Brahminical things, but then they don't reciprocate. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. You go to that. That's the problem is they'll make comments about other people not doing that. They're not situated right, but they're not situated. How much are they giving to the temple? Right? You know, they say it's 100 devotees in the community. If everybody gave something to the temple, then, you know, don't have to do that. But they're not. And then they're criticizing also. It's kind of like, you know, insult to injury.
They argue that we do not want to give any donation to the temple because temple is doing their own business. Then we will not support the Vaishyas and arguments like
Tell them it would be bad for Shudras to support Vaishyas. That's completely against the Vedic culture that the Shudras assist the Vaishyas. It would be completely against the rule. That's the whole thing, is that mentality, that's not even a Shudra. So that's the problem. So you don't engage with those in discussion with those individuals. You just carry on doing. Point is you're doing this out of necessity. When you weren't doing this, were they giving money? No, so they've never given money. So even when you were only doing temple things and all that, they weren't giving money. So according to their standard, why weren't they giving money back then when it was just exclusively Brahminical activities? But because he and everybody else is not giving, then you have to do something. It's for Krishna. It means, so previously when we had Govinda's restaurants, when Prabhupada was here, and that money would be going to the temple. So then that means no one else should give anything to the temple because they were all Vaishyas. You know, it's like, you know, what planet are they from? You know?
Yes, thank you very much. It's true.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we'll end here. We've time is. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada ki jai.